Schönen guten Abend.
Well, hello and good evening. Welcome, welcome. Glad to see you here. Currently, we're experiencing a problematic lack of people who know what they're doing in security and technology, and women still have it rather hard. Even though there are seemingly more women in cyber criminality than in cyber security.
Well, there's a lot more women in cyber crime than in cyber security, actually. We think we know why, because, yeah, we're women ourselves, we work in IT, and we know all the challenges that us women are faced in the IT world with. And that's just because we are women, and we wanted to look into this thing further. And that's why we spent the last 7 months talking to 27 very different people. They are all not cis men. And in our interviews, we asked them how they experience their daily professional lives. And their stories are part of our talk here today. Let's start with a thought experiment. So imagine you're very passionate about IT. And that's probably easy for all y'all, right? And you want to change something in your job. You want to have a career. You want recognition for what you do. And you want to meet your colleagues as peers. It would be surprising to hear that a lot of people only find this in cybercrime. And so let's start with our thesis. Cybercrime is a more attractive workplace for women. So the woman in the middle is the happier employee. We have evidence. It's this report about a study that various IT firms analyzed. And it's actually more women in underground hacking forums than in legal forums like Stack Overflow and Reddit. And here it says 12% versus 38%, and yeah, and we have a source where we found this. The gender equal cybercriminal underground. It's this Trendmaker report that went viral on LinkedIn, where it suddenly showed up on my timeline in one day. And people used a tool from SecWatch and analyzed posts in cybercrime forums. And in this report, they looked at English and Russian-speaking forums and compared these with blogs like Stack Overflow or places like Reddit. We recommend you really, really read this report. It's long, but it's very detailed. In our talk, it's not about rehashing that report, but investigation showed there's more women in cybercrime than in cybersecurity and in IT in general.
Now we're going to start with a little quiz to give both sides a face. Who knows Ursula Walk? Show of hands. I don't see anyone. Well, the University of Kiel introduces her as the first programmer who actually was getting a salary. The work situation wasn't great. And partially because it was so early, smoldering the relays was actually part of her job. In the beginning of the computer history, mainly women were working in computer production. And while the men were shooting at each other in the field, women were working on the future. That's definitely the next phrase that I'm going to tattoo for a tattoo. So I think the name Ella Witte might probably be known a little more, but just for a reminder, She was from Letland, was 2021, was arrested for her deeds in the Conti Group. And beforehand, she was working as a programmer for this group. And we recommend The Queen of Russian Hackers as a podcast from the ARD Audiothek, if you want to know about this. So she has contributed small program parts. And you know this little ample from project management tools. This is one of the things that she came up with, seemingly. To work there was a chance for her, even though it wasn't bringing her so much money, and she was partially even programming for Scientology. But if you have to feed children, sometimes you don't really choose your contractors or the people you do the work for. But how do you get a proper salary from an IT, from IT work on the light side of life?
But why are there more Alice than Ursulas? You were thinking about changing over to the dark side, didn't you, Norbert? Yeah, not quite. I thought about pranking one of my former bosses, but I didn't do it. So today there's no deep dive into an illegal hack, sorry. Oh, maybe next time. But you said you wanted to go from consulting into pen testing. And you had a good salary, right? Unlike Ella. But why did you want to change your job? So yeah, no, the salary was not that good. And in the early days of the pandemic, I also had reduced hours, and that really, really threatened my living. I always wanted to work in tech, and back then I thought, yeah, that's the opportunity, right? And as I know, you're skilled, right? So thanks, dear Katrin. They didn't let me. First, I talked to the lead of this pen testing team and told him, yo, I can do this, and maybe I can't do this, but I also told, of course, I'll learn. And the team lead would have given me the job. Yeah. But there's this. In the end, the boss would have had to agree. I talked to him, but the answer was pretty quick, actually. Nah, don't see it. In that moment, I thought, yeah, great. If our computers ever meet each other in the same network, you're getting that back. In the end, I left the company for a much better offer. And after the fact, I think I should have explained to my boss more at length and more in depth what I can do because I'm a woman. But honestly, with any of my main colleagues, the skill would have been sufficient. And if we look at the quotes on the slides, they're from 1997. And our experience shows, yeah, that's still right. For men, 80 to 90% with the job description, that's sufficient. For women, it needs to be 100% or even more. Yeah, and if I look at this slide, I need to think about our interview that we had with a working student of ours. In 2024, we met our interview partner, a developer in the IT. She's at the premises of her employer. She gets herself a coffee, and while she's standing in front of the coffee machine waiting for her drink, there's a couple men a few steps away talking. And one of them suddenly gets louder and says, and I quote, "Women can't do tech. That's because of their female brain. This has been scientifically proven." And all the other men in that group were laughing. I kind of think of the bumblebee paradoxon. Do you know this? The myth that bumblebees can't fly. That's two French entomologists just claimed because of the relation of body to wings. That's a bad relation, and actually bumblebees can't fly because they're much too fat for these little wings. But the bumblebee doesn't know that. And what does the bumblebee do? The bumblebee flies. I use this as a joke when the subject comes up. Me, a woman in tech, I'm such a rare species. How come? Because my playground buddy, she studied math and IT. They always say, they forgot to tell us that it's not women's work.
Another very current example, how women are ridiculed again and again, is what Gundolf Siebicke of the CDU, the German party, has posted. And this made some ruckus. And after being much criticized, he realized that in an actual election time, saying something like this is not that smart. But of course, I'm going to read it out. So, you can read there, nicely written. Should it be the case that women's voices
ins Kanzleramt hieven und damit Deutschland über die Klippe muss über das Frauenwahlrecht inoffiziell
put this swindler Robert A. in to the Chancellor House. Well, we should probably rethink women's vote here and about anti-emotional democracy lessons.
So, und
and of course he deleted that super, super fast, but also he released an explanation, and the explanation was, well, exactly as pathetic as the original post, because he wanted to claim that it's not him, Gundolf, who's a sexist, but it's actually Robert Habeck. And according to Gundolf, Robert did abuse the emotionality of women to manipulate them so that they would vote for him and for his party, and this is, in his opinion, the true reason, because the women's vote is in danger. I'll spare you the rest. This is this pathetic attempt to explain. Yeah, I got very emotional about this. And Friedrich Merz also said something really, really great about this, about more women in politics. He doesn't think about equal gender allocation of ministers because, hello, there have been women who were wrong for the job before, and it's just not good for women if you just do an equal number for an equal number's sake, because, you know, but of course it's just women who would be wrong for the job, because men are never, ever, ever wrong for the job, which, yeah, right, if you look at German politics, they're never wrong. Maybe should we solve this by appointing trans people or non-binary people? But what do we do if they're wrong for the job? Yeah, maybe we'll just need to abolish democracy. That's the solution.
After the elections in the last years, in the whole world, I am afraid that Gundolf and Friedrich do not have a problem of getting majorities. Because, yeah, all those guys are part of the disadvantaging of women. So, for the next topic complex and the next interview that we did, a colleague told us that she has taken part in a lecture, and that was only she was the only woman at work. And there are always so many reasons made up why women should earn less than men. And you can see that these inequalities are being kept alive.
Earn around 71,000 euros per year, whereas women in IT earn about 66,500 euros, so about 5% less for the same work. In junior positions, it's even 8% less salary. In DevOps, it's even 9%. An IT team lead earns only 4.2% less than her male colleague. But if you look at the yearly salary, it's 83,000 versus 94,000, so it's still 10,000 euros less that go to women. And this also continues into retirement with a gender pension gap. Gender pay gap and leading positions are one of the few positions where we not only see men and women, but also there's studies about different queer groups. The studies aren't always that clear. There's different reports. If you compare homosexuals to heterosexual men, and some one earns more and the other earns more. But also, all men who are not cis men earn less. Never mind what group they're part of, they earn less than cis men. We've got a couple of facts for you here. Gay men earn about 2 euros less than straight men. And in the UK, the queer pay gap was 16%. For trans people, it was 13%. And in the Netherlands, it was after a gender realignment surgery, people make 20% less, but only if they transition from man to woman. Because, yeah, this is also the transgender gender pay gap that affects them. I want to bring you a quote from a book. A colleague of mine recommended that. The book that every man should read. And yeah, that's really the title. And it was written by an author group named Feminist Lab. And it says, the inequality between genders can show in as comments, gazes, and jokes, where women and queer people are the joke. And these contribute to what we as a society consider normal in dealing with each other. Once you become the target of such meanness, it's easier to dehumanize then. This is a good quote. It starts small and it gets bigger if we don't do anything against it. We as women, but we all, also our allies, need to speak up against this. Let's go on to the hidden figures.
Ist die Zeit der versteckten Figuren, der versteckten Zahlen vorbei?
Arbeit bekannt gegeben worden ist. Hidden Figures ist auch einer meiner Lieblingsfilme.
This is one of my favorite movies. Is the time for Hidden Figures over? Von der Wand reißt
und sich alles dank des Wohlwollens der Weißen zum Guten wandelt, aber das Thema ist wichtig.
Und this is a very important topic. And unfortunately the time of Hidden Figures is not done. There is always taking credit for other people's work. And there are so many women who do not get any credit in the history books or in the author lists for research papers, like Ursula Walk. And everybody knows Konrad Zuse, but nobody knows her. In our interviews, we had so many stories in which men took the works and achievements of women, and we want to tell you two of those stories.
Wir haben zum einen mit einer jungen Frau gesprochen, die Physik studiert hat.
So the first one is a young physics student. She was working at the university and working at a company as a student and was writing her master thesis at this company, and she had a so-called mentor, and this mentor was a mathematician and not a physicist, but it was about physics. Well, when the master thesis was done, she realized that this company took her master thesis, made it a paper of the company, and now her mentor is cited as the author of this. And if that would not be enough, this guy is now going around and giving lectures on this very topic. And he does not, seemingly does not give credit to her at all. If you're wondering, she did something. She asked, how could that be? And the answer was, well, the company is allowed to do that because they were mentoring it and she was paid for that time, and that's legitimate. But, of course, at the same time, a male guy wrote in the same situation a master thesis, but he was allowed to write his paper on his own and is mentioned as author and creator. After a really good lecture on this very topic, she was asked by another company to do a seminar on this. But she said, and she said, of course I can do it, but I have to make sure that my company is okay with this.
And the company said okay, but one day she saw on her LinkedIn timeline that her boss proudly said, oh yeah, two of our male colleagues held this webinar for this company that she was asked for. Yet she was looking forward to this. Finally, she can show that she can do and get projects for the company, but the bonus for this got to two of her male colleagues. And they're seen by the world at large as the experts. Credit to the female colleague? No. I want to go back to the dark side here, because we have our thesis that the job paradise is in cybercrime. That means that these problems don't exist there, right? And they don't. Because there is no structural inequality there, because they're all anonymous. There's no possibility for unconscious bias to catch on here. And we're very sure that many women who are working in cybercrime, it's not the thrill of it, but it's these actual equality. Me, like Ella Vitter, get a real chance at an equal job, and even young women aren't taken seriously in our legal job world. This is when I'm going to talk about an interview with a young programmer. Our interview partner is a very, very smart colleague of ours. She really got this. And her story really moved us. Because this young woman worked in the company where she works today. She started as a working student there, together with a couple male colleagues. It was a team of working students, and she was the only woman in that team. In the beginning, they all had the same level of knowledge, roughly. But when the male colleagues got the exciting projects, it was very different for her. She got these, fix that printer, make some coffee. I also want to do a little detour to one of my favorite books, Invisible Women, by Caroline Criando Perez. If I tell the story of this young programmer, I hear stories like, but why didn't she just state her case? But as service providers, we need people who can sell their shit. But the colleague said, it is what she can do. She asked to get a project. But they didn't hear her, they didn't let her. And these stories show up in her book often and often. She shows that this is a systematic thing that happens to women on the job. And she looked at studies for 3 years and talked to a lot of experts about this. So looks at the gender disparity in scientific studies and this is systematic discrimination of women. This results in a huge knowledge gap, and it's still being created, which has massive negative impacts on the lives of women. Now to a couple of quotes from this book that describe that there's a lot of women on jobs who experience the same thing.
In this context, with our young programmer, I want to look at the chapter 4, the myth of the democracy, the myth of the meritocracy. I'll explain what that means. It means that a society acknowledges certain performances, certain people do this, and these unrecognized things. So these people are getting picked for good positions. So the young programmer was in a team where everyone was equal in the beginning. They got programming knowledge from their studies, which was asked for. And again, she was the only woman in the team. She has at least as much programming experience like the men in her team, but as the only person in this team, she does not get any project she can work in, even though, even on paper as well as in reality, she was completely equal. No work in projects. I have a nice quote from chapter 4. Women have to work, do a lot of administration work that is underestimated, and it's more than the male guys have to do, than their male colleagues have to do. And if they don't do this, they are being basically punished with unfriendliness. So a no is just not accepted. The wish of women to do certain things is negated, especially when it is about activities that are typically male in our social construct. And if women leave those fields, it's because they feel like they're getting held back. And not because the projects that they initiated themselves aren't good enough. From many partners, we heard that all the ideas would have been would be rejected or not even heard. But of course, when a male person came around with the same idea, everybody was really into it. So, mediocrity is the institutionalized disadvantagement. So, we all know that in IT, the big IT is, in IT, the big money is being made with certain projects. We are generating factura and our work is usable for our customers. So, for all these things like repairing printers and getting coffees and sending packages and all these things that don't really are that are not really project work, there is no space. She stayed in this company. So in the end, many of the male guys were allowed to get positions or were able to get developing positions, but she wasn't, and the reason was she didn't have any project experience.
So women often do more, but so as women have little less chance at getting a team lead or even a managing position, so young men just whoosh past young women on the career ladder. And my last team lead was 20 years younger than I. When I started up in IT, he was just starting primary school, is things we heard in interviews. Another interview partner of ours said, I got a colleague who's half my age. When I started working in IT, he was a year old. He has the same career title, makes 10,000 euros more, and has a company car. We have picked this picture deliberately for the male team lead, the woman intern. So, and this is going to lead us to our next topic, lookism. It's about the discrimination of a person because of their exterior experience. it's closely tied to other group-based dehumanization, like racism, sexism, ageism. And unlike these other types of discrimination, it's not punishable, not illegal. Many women underlined that they have got the impression that pretty women in professional fields are preferred. They report that in for some promotions or other professional changes, they didn't get anything, but a female colleague may not be more competent, but due to her looks, got better chances. That's how much our social construct is influenced by attractiveness in professional decision. One example was really, really something else. In her company, she switched to an area where she only had a couple skills. She couldn't stay there. When she was new there, her male colleagues told her, "We don't have time to train you. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself." That sounds like a lot of work, right? So when another pretty colleague came into the colleague, she knew all of the things she would have needed for the job and didn't really need any training. These colleagues fell all over themselves to train her. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know this. It's so predictable. It's getting kind of boring. But what do you think how the new colleague felt? She was mansplained. They didn't think she was competent. Just so the male colleagues had a chance to be around her, to spend time with her. Sounds like sexism, doesn't it? And like economic damage for the company, because the male colleagues could have spent the time training the other woman, our interview partner. That would have been better for the company and more efficient, right? But instead, they reported to the next level up. They weren't able to train our interview partner. They couldn't use her. She didn't have the necessary skills. And poof, she was gone. And it's really a pity, because she really wanted to work in IT security. This field needs people, but yeah, they're not pretty enough, so poof, she went. It's digital forensics. You shouldn't stop people who really, really want in. You know, they might switch to the dark side after all. Also, there's another story told to us. It's very typical. Colleague attended a Jour Fix with a customer she'd been working together with forever, and in the meeting there were two men on the customer side, one from the external service provider A, woman from external service provider D herself, and a colleague of external service provider. They all wore hoodies, except the woman from external service provider B. She was wearing smart business casual. So probably looked a bit like this picture. They probably didn't all have the hoodies up, but it should be more or less accurate. But yeah, our interview partner got a lot of comments from her male colleague, also wearing a hoodie. So how could she attend a hoodie, a meeting in a hoodie? So, but it was okay for him. So women working from home shouldn't work in a hoodie. But, of course, it's okay for the men. And this is not just this individual case. Another interview partner told us pretty much the same thing. She was the only woman on the team. Attended a trade fair with her male colleagues. They were all wearing suits and sneakers. Her male colleague said to her, she couldn't come here in sneakers. A woman, you're supposed to wear high heels. Duh. It seemed, what the fuck to her. And then told us that her sneakers were the only clean ones in this round. Katrin, you had a similar experience, right? Didn't a boss say to you, you'd better bother with makeup? Yeah, that was ages ago when I worked as a software developer. My boss said, it would be better for the company if I prettied up for the customer, wore a skirt, put on makeup, but I just didn't compute that I'd be taken more seriously, me, as a backend developer, if I suddenly show up in lipstick. And I don't think he advised the men to use more color on their faces. But in general, us women were reduced to looks and talked about them without having asked for anybody for their opinion in the first place.
Lately, I told a colleague that I'm going to hold this talk and I will talk about the experiences from our work life and how unnerving it is. And she is a punk. We often spend our lunch hour together. She is funny and creative, and I like her very much. And a few minutes after we talked about this, I got a message from the internal chat in the company. I don't know whether I ever told you this, but if not, if yes, then sorry. When I was working in a social media redaction, there was a customer.
The customer didn't want to work with me because I wasn't that fashionable and pretty, so we pretended my fashionable colleague had written them, and the external one liked that. It's not just men who do this kind of sexism, but it's actually also women. And yeah, it's no wonder that we think about our looks so much if it's been commented on and talked about so much. We spend about 5 months of our life thinking about what to wear to work. And I hope that's before the era of the home office, because now at least we only need to think about our top half. But one in four women gets uninvited comments about her outfits at work. And this is especially bad for politicians on telly. There's a lot of discussions in the media, in social media. Oh God, what did Annalena Baerbock wear again? Or Angela Merkel was wearing a necklace during an interview. And a necklace was enough to rip the internet into a frenzy. The necklace had a Facebook account, had a Twitter account, like there hadn't been any actual content on the TV interview. So, but how is this in cybercrime? You don't know the name, you don't know the looks, you don't even know what gender the people are. Anybody can just pick an avatar however they want, pick a nickname for the conversation. That's this famous sentence. On the internet, nobody knows if you're a dog, and that's right. In our favorite book, anonymity is also a topic. At the beginning of chapter 4, we find a fitting example of the New York Philharmonics in the 50s and 60s. Women were in an absolute minority there, but it started to change in the 70s. The number of female musicians rose. What happened? The selection method was changed. They introduced a blind audition. The commission couldn't see the persons, but could only hear them play their instrument. The auditioning person was covered by a screen. And interestingly, this was only introduced after they'd been sued. But you saw the change immediately. So it was about a 50-50 men to women split after it. So you can't do this, and this focus on looks is a problem for women who work in legal IT. But if you hack, it's a good front. We seem a lot more trustworthy. We're left alone with usable devices. And also, we can't just give ourselves a nickname and can pick a neutral or a male avatar. And now we've got our perpetrator icon. Said this queen of Russian hackers was only caught because she was working under her legal name. And yeah, it's fitting. I remember so many job interviews where I was kept waiting for half an hour or more. So all alone with the prospective boss's laptop, which wasn't locked. It was really, really daring to leave me alone with this device so much. They didn't even consider that I would have the awareness to use this situation, or that I'd even have the skills to hack into the system, because she's just a woman. We can leave her unsupervised. What can we do to make cybersecurity more interesting to women than cybercrime? There's in the Zurich newspaper, there was a nice article about a media conference where representatives of assorted associations met. There's an association box with the core sentence, simple language, warm colors. Thanks for the easy language. They think we're dumb, right? They want to work against the gender problem in IT. I've got two zooms on the article, and we're going to tell you if you can't read it. It's good that, like in this article, that they want to make the IT world look nice to women. They want to bring the topics into schools, and there's supposed to be nice technical toys for women, and they used to look into the stuff that are more appealing to girls. I don't know if it's necessary. So back then, when I was in school, there was IT classes for girls, but they didn't have other contents. The emotional box says something else. So this paper talks about which colors and designs should be used to attract women. You don't want these typical cool IT colors like dark blue and black. They'd arouse the wrong emotions. Katrin, do we have the wrong emotions for the job? I mean, I like these hoodies. They fit us. We had these specially made for this talk here. Thanks. You know, what really, really irritates me in general, or do y'all know this? They're always talking about women, and they're not talking to women. They claim things about them, what they prefer, how men should talk to them. Their behavior is interpreted, and they just draw conclusions and create consequences. And women are left there sitting and going, wait, what? So we have the ultimate hack for all people out there. Don't be like Gundolf. Don't be like Friedrich. Be like the bumblebee.
Maybe the bumblebee knows what is said about her. Maybe she is so loud because she is laughing hard about what she hears. That's what we call woman in the middle. We have to fix bumblebees today. So the view, how women are viewed, and many people who are not in the mainstream, all these prejudices, they have to get out of our heads. In our society, we are very far away from true equality. Be allies. Do not take part at the discrimination of your own kind. Don't perpetuate the inequality and the problems. Don't look at men and women only. There is so much more. We have to be better at getting data about this and about the transparency that we can get from this. So if we get more from this, many problems will become visible that we don't have on our papers yet, on our screens yet. So whatever you do, do something, do something, do something. It's not about humanity only. It's a huge lever that you can use for economic success. Gender diversity brings a 25% chance to be more profitable and can be raised more if you include diversity. The Diversity Report 2021 shows that leading teams need to be diverse, especially in times of crisis. In Corona times, people have to be able to talk to each other in a way that they can reach the other person. And a part of these factors, good leading teams combine strengths and perspectives of all of the crew participants. Reflective leading qualities are incredibly important. Only this way we can have a proper teamwork on eye level. We also need more time and help with the special situations that come up, like gender changes.
So long the work at large claims to talk down to women about their work, and women also do this, and don't do this. Don't do these kind of attacks. So long as politics take out their moods on women by trying to take away their vote, because men look in the opposition, and the others look better than they do. And so long as women get taken to the customer for their looks but not for their skills, we're far away from gender equality. Women are left alone, left out, taken seriously. Don't feel taken seriously. You just should let us do our thing, man. Women and queer people feel left out. They feel treated like strange people. Talk to us. Talk to your queer colleagues. Talk to us peer-to-peer. Talk, include all of us. Just do it. It's not that hard. Unless you want us to go to the dark side of the force. Unless you don't have anything to do in cybersecurity. So thank you for your attention. Thank you. Yeah, this was really cool. Thanks for your talk. We've got a lot of time for questions, actually, from the audience, but also from our Signal Angel. And yeah, we can talk. You can talk to women here. So yeah, any questions? Come forward if you dare. Or I've got a microphone here, and I'll just pass it around the audience for questions from the audience.
Jungs, traut euch.
Guys,
da hinten ist eine Frage. Magst du vor,
go for it.
Soll ich das zu dir bringen?
Should I get you the microphone? Or
cool,
are you coming?
Komm zu uns.
Okay, come here. Very good.
Super.
So, hallo.
Hello. So, I would be interested in...
So, perfekt,
ja, super. Konkrete,
concretely,
Vorschläge habt, was man,
do you have suggestions to get more women into the positions? Because I'm from the state positions, and we do have a quota. And for the state and the private sectors, we do have quotas. But is this a good idea? Well, this is a good catalyzer. To get some more women in there. But what really is a factor, to have women in leading positions there already. Because then you see the company actually takes it serious. So would you also say that this is setting a sign for the companies, but it's also a sign for young women? I mean, I can so much relate to what you said about the sandbox story with your friend. But for example, for me as a young woman or a young girl, it was really nice to have women who were interested in cars because I wasn't the only one. Oh, yes, this is very important. It's very important for women. This role model, the being a role model, you have to have them. Yeah? I wanted to program. I didn't want to look at women topics But we are not yet at the point where we can only look at technology as women. But all the parents, for all the parents, we recommend just support the children, your children, in what they are really interested in. And the most girls who are interested in that, they go there on their own, if they can see the opportunity to learn. And don't talk differently to your daughters than to your boys. Okay, thank you very much for the questions and the answers. Are there more questions? Is there a signal angel question? No, the internet does not have any questions, but they thank you very much for the talk. Okay, but here is another question. I'll give you the microphone. Yeah, thanks for the talk. As a female socialized person, I feel you. And when you ask, what can we do? The first part is to not disencourage the women and take them to Congress. My little two daughters are here.
Super. Haben wir noch mehr?
Okay, great. Do we have more questions from the audience? I'm going to jump over to you.
Mal schauen, ob der Audio Engel mich gleich killt, wenn ich das Mikrofon hier nachher.
Let's see whether the audio angel kills me when I take this microphone too far. Thanks for this talk. It was funny, as informative as it was painful to listen. And I always think with these topics, it's cool to see how we don't load all the work onto the backs of women again with this. So your 1, 2, 3 top tips of the cis world, cis men world, would be interesting to me. What can men do to distribute this work more equally? Well, they're very much allowed to look at us equally and to behave with us on eye level. And that's already winning a lot. Data is important as well. If you look at the salaries, that you think about, why do the women earn so few? Maybe you can have certain ranges of salary that you can use to purposefully get people into the range that might be more difficult, but also bring more to the table because of it. Okay, so I'm a pedagogue, and it starts very early that the socialization happens, and socialization in the wrong direction thusly as well. And often it comes from the parents and not from the institutions themselves, because if you look at the studies about this, if you have a free opportunity and the parents are allowed to choose, often girls end up in the girl topics and boys end up in the boys topics. If there is not this level of the parents choosing for them, women often choose much more freely. Young girls often choose much more freely and diversely in what they want to learn. There is one last.
There's one last question in the back there. Am I going back there? Are you coming forward? Great. So, yeah, I think I've got more of a comment than an actual question. So, about what cis men can do. You can try to be aware which methods of oppressions we suffer under, but also women and cis women can think about which methods of suppressions other people suffer from, and just not reproduce it, because not reproducing those is a great start. Yep, so have a bit of empathy, have a bit of understanding, and yeah, there's this painful point where you realize you profit from your privileges, but getting rid of that is an excellent start. You know, there's a lot of invisible things beneath me, and people suffer from things I reproduce unconsciously. And you could also talk to groups outside your bubble. As a cis woman, go to queer meetups, for example. Or as a cis man, go to queer meetups, even better.
Ja, mache ich gerne.
Ja, oh, I'm happy to. Cool. We have more questions. Cool. Yeah, maybe also on this topic, what we have made good experience as a circle to intentionally counter these stereotypes that you have, like make an effort to overestimate the women, because unlike men, women have learned to ask if they don't know anything. So just give them the benefit of the doubt. And like in a crunch, you get creative. They find their way, even if they don't know exactly what they're doing.
Ja, super, danke.
Yeah, great, thank you. Do we have more questions? I'm looking around the audience. Yeah, there's something more back there. Great. Yeah, I'm getting my steps in today. Thank you for the talk. I hope you can hear me. With us, we have this easy thing with the women quota. If I understand my colleagues right, no woman ever applied to any technical position. Does this also go wrong when putting out the wanted ad? Well, I think the damage was already done before, you know, the child even got to meet this pedagogue. Yeah, it's the whole chain. We need a good and open education, we need good pedagogues, we need role models, and then we need the job opportunities that, yeah, are written well. In IT, I've seen it a lot, that men also have a barrier of entry because the job adverts demand so much, you should just give people a chance. Does this answer your question? Great. Do we have more questions? Oh, it's getting good here. Cool. On to the next one. Hi. Thanks for the talk. My question is, can we read about these interviews that you conducted anywhere? We can maybe turn this into a paper. We had to promise to not name the names of people or companies, but yeah, we had queer people, we had trans people, anything but a cis man. So things like roughly the age, roughly the sector, approximate job titles. It would be super, super interesting to me to see the data. Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. Okay, we can do one more. If we're quick, yeah? Yeah, let's have a guy. If you're a guy. So yeah, thanks for your talk. So do you have the impression that when inviting allies in this hardcore cis spaces, with the men especially, do you see more potential? Could you get more better feedback? So what are the barriers that you have to overcome there? So, I think it helps when men are open to this topic and come listen to talks such as ours, because and read the books we recommended and question themselves. Yeah. And just stick to certain things, like there's legal rules and regs that make sense to not ask about family planning that doesn't have anything to do with the job. A lot of women get asked, do you plan to have children? Or it is assumed that I'm married and have children, because that's wrong. And instead, just look at women as persons who can do this, who want to do this. Or maybe just bite your tongue if you want to start a sentence with you as a woman. Because how does this sound? You as a man, you're really good at driving. Great, so it was a great point to wrap this up. Give a great hand for them.